Well, if we didn't say funny thing, something funny in the last 30 minutes, we are really fucked.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're joined by Jeffrey Brown, who calls himself an agnostic in all things. We talk about sex positivity and, oh hey, by the way, he co-wrote our theme song.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi!
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And this week we have, after only almost 175 episodes, we have someone who's been heard on this podcast literally every single time.
Every time.
We do it. Until now, he finally gets to speak. It's Mr. Jeffrey Brown.
Hello, I'm Jeffrey Brown. Hey, I like the theme song.
We get a lot of complaints.
Yeah, you do get a lot of complaints.
Yeah, we do.
You're welcome, listening audience. You're welcome.
So, yes, Jeffrey is a co-writer of the Geeks Without God theme song with myself also. What do we want to call you? An agnostic? Is that what you call yourself?
Yeah, I'm an agnostic.
Okay.
In all things, actually.
All things.
Like, yeah. He's really not sure about math.
I've seen you make a really convincing argument for alcohol.
That's true. That is true. That might be the one thing that I really believe in. It's the power of alcohol.
So what we are going to talk with Jeffrey about is the issue of sex positivity.
Yeah.
We've talked around this issue a lot. We talked about it in the rape culture episode. So we've talked about it a lot lately in terms of where our specifically American society is
America.
In terms of how we look at sex.
Which is wrong in
and
a lot of cases.
And mostly through the internet.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the right way to look at sex.
I use a hand mirror.
That's the ultimate right way to look at sex. No, I mean, yeah. Well, it's interesting. I was really happy when you guys asked me to talk about this, because this is something, like, my last job, I spent 10 years as a sex educator for high schoolers. So it was part of my job to just answer random real questions from kids about sex and about, like, the bare bones things of sex. So,
because they get what you get as an education in public schools, even in my very progressive private school, is really more about how pregnancy happens.
Right. It's a chemistry and biology lesson.
Yeah, the science of an erection and what sperm
and it's not,
involves.
It's not that stuff isn't important.
Right.
No.
It doesn't really teach kids anything about the actual act of
They don't want to know why chemically their dick is getting hard. They want to know what to do with it once it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Just touch everything they can with it.
They will, That's the texture on this sofa is great.
If I had a dick, I would put it on everything. Like, I've thought about this a lot.
Welcome to being a 13-year-old boy. That's,
right, yeah. Slam it against a wall if you
I
think
do it everywhere,
feel
Summer.
Right.
Quit shaving me.
My son, Alex... When
is this going to get weird?
No, well, only if he listens to it. But
only
anyway,
make it weird.
when he started having erections, he was talking to Pat about it, and she was, you know, well, yeah, that's natural. That's what happens.
Yeah, biology.
And his only question was, how do I get it to go away?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a great question to ask your mom, too.
No, she was like, I've tried slapping it, I've tried ignoring it,
It's a great question, and it's a question we don't answer.
Right.
That is true.
Yep.
I mean, in sex ed is all about, well, you're going to get an erection.
Yeah.
Not,
yeah.
What do you do about it once it happens?
Right.
And I think, to a fair degree, you're going to get an erection, and that's normal.
No, see, you don't get to say anything because you went through Unitarian sex positivity schools.
I also went through public school and all the stuff that they had there, too.
I know, but, like, I feel like because you had both at the same time, it's probably really hard for you to extricate and you have a very sex positive mom who was very open about talking about all things.
I think you can drill down on...
I had a sex-positive mom.
Pardon the phrase, drill down, but I feel like you can kind of delineate where somebody is on the sex-positivity scale by when they started using the correct terms for their genitalia.
No.
So, like,
age four.
Yeah.
That's what we were taught. Penis, vagina. My mom even taught us. I liked the word urethra because I thought pee hole.
It's a great word.
Because you like dip thongs.
I was like, I don't like pee hole because that's not quite right. Because mine's different than Kevin's. And she was like, you both have a urethra. Right.
which is a urine spout.
Great word.
Yeah. So
pee hole is also a pretty good word, though.
I like pee hole.
You guys like pee hole?
I actually remember the moment that my mother asked my father to quit using the term tallywhacker.
Oh, that's southern. That's so southern.
Well,
I'm going to argue that tallywhacker is a great term.
It is a good term.
It is, but
it's not a good term for a penis, though.
No.
I don't know. What is the origin of? Is it just like a funny sounding thing, or
no?
Does it
a tallywhacker
have...
was actually a thing when you used to count votes. They would every time you if you ever do the like the lines of 1, 2, 3, 4
hash
and
marks.
Then and then yeah. slash yeah. that slash that goes across that calls it a five is a tally. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4 tally. 1, 2, 3, 4 tally. Well, they used to have a thing that they would smack so that everybody in the room could count it at the same time.
Could hear 5,
and that
10,
was a
15.
Tally whacker.
But it's like
and it looks like the thing. It looks like a dick because it's the same thing. You know, if you ever go to the bar and
like
somebody's making a mojito,
a pestle kind of a thing.
Yeah,
murder or whatever.
We use the proper
muddler.
Proper term with our children basically from the moment we started talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, there was never a point where I didn't call a penis, or a vagina. But
I call them like, see them.
I'm going to argue. I'm just going to back up and say, I think most of the nicknames for male genitalia are awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, schlong, dong. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of cunt. So,
you know,
two quick stories. So, when my brother and I were little, and I was maybe, so I was like 6 and Kevin was 3, and we're still taking baths together, and Kevin says, Sissy has 2 butts. She has a back butt, and then she has a front butt. And I, outraged, was like, I do not have 2 butts. I have a butt and a vagina. Because I, and Kevin,
good
thought that
day,
was,
sir.
Yeah, Kevin thought that was a hilarious word. But then, so my fast forward to my dad is in the family, and Riley and Madeline are like 2 and 3, and my dad is in line holding Riley's hand, and they're waiting for something, and a little girl behind my dad turns to her dad and goes, Daddy, my cunt itches. And, and so then Riley's like, what's a cunt? And my dad's like, it's another word for vagina. And Riley goes, why don't you just say vagina? Like, turns and yells at this little girl. And like, it was amazing.
Okay, as long as
like
telling
two autistic ships crossing the night. Like.
Okay, speaking of autistic ships, my daughter, I'm getting out of the shower last year, and we're kind of naked people in our house. It's our house.
Hippies.
I don't know anyone who's
naked in their house all the time.
Well, and I go, you know, and I'm going from the bathroom to my bedroom, and I'm naked, and I've just gotten out of the shower, and Zeta's coming down the hallway, and she goes, Daddy, I can see your wiggly thing. Ha 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 ha. And I was like, wiggly thing? I was like, Zeta, that's called a penis, and stop laughing.
Yes. Like, makes allowed. Daddy feel bad.
Exactly.
I'm not the biggest one you've ever seen.
I'm not going to be size shamed by a 6-year-old.
Yeah, that's your wife's job.
Exactly.
Tim, was your mom real sex positive? Was your mom real open?
You know,
your dad?
I mean, my parents were not
Catholics.
We didn't talk about sex a lot in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my parents were very open about sex. I know that when I was very young, I had questions about same-sex relationships, and they were super liberal about it.
Yeah.
I mean, even especially for the time.
Yeah.
They were like,
sure.
There are people who are attracted. There are men who are attracted to men, women who are attracted to women.
Yep.
That is completely okay, and anybody who tells you that it's not is fucked.
Right.
I mean, it was really a very clear thing of homosexuality is natural and it's okay.
Yeah.
And if you discover that you're homosexual, we're going to love you the same.
That's great.
Let me give you some contrast to that.
down south
where the cotton blooms and blows, I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, as a Southern Baptist. So, shame was a regular occurrence.
Yeah.
And just a regular part of my upbringing. And so, I actually started masturbating at a very young age. I was like 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember discovering that touching myself in a certain way felt good. And I started to, and not long before I could come.
Yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
was a big surprise to me. I was like, I've been doing this for years, and what's this new development?
So, just leveled up.
Right, like, what is that? What am I going to do with all this was really the question. It's like, wow, this is causing another level of concern.
We need a new plan.
But yeah, exactly. So, but I remember my sex talk with my dad, you're 11 and 12 when you go to sex ed. They have a two-tiered thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're 11 and 12, you're 6th and 7th grade, and I remember my sex talk with my dad was, so you went to sex ed this morning? And I was like, yeah. He goes, do you have any questions? And I said, no. And he said, good. That was my sex
yeah.
talk. So everything I learned about sex, I learned in the trenches. So,
yeah.
So to speak. But yeah, I what's interesting to me is I knew I was queer. I'll just go ahead and, I am a, white, cisgendered, bisexual, ex-Baptist agnostic. So that's...
You get all your labels on?
There's yeah. my labels. I just put yeah. them out. If it was a badge at con, I'd have like a good 7 or 8
mm-hmm.
badges.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
7 or 8 ribbons on there. But, I knew I was queer from an early age. I wrote a blog about it last year. It's, just about, I remember being 12 and I went on this trip and I saw this kid and he was gorgeous and I remember going, oh, that's somebody I'd like to like be near, be on. Like,
yeah.
I remember
in.
Just, well, want, not well, necessarily not, in.
I
want to be around him all the time.
It was,
yeah.
you know, you're passing notes and you're putting things in people's
yep.
lockers and things. And I was like, that's somebody I would like to, wait a minute. So,
mm-hmm.
When I turned on, it turned on both ways at the same time. And so I have been bisexual since I was 12.
Yeah.
And knew I was. And what's interesting is when I was 18 and was finally expressing myself sexually, that's when you start to realize that there's no place for you in the gay world and there's no place for you in the straight world. Because straight people
yes.
like, if you have sex with a guy, you're gay.
Yep.
And if you and the gay world is like, if you have sex with a guy, you're gay. And bisexuality.
The gay world is like, at least for women especially, the gay world is like, oh, you have a boyfriend?
Hmm.
Then you're not a lesbian and we don't want to talk to you because
right.
you're the enemy.
Right.
Especially in the mid-90s.
And you're going to bring disease to us.
When,
right.
When my mom came out and when she, you know, I was 12
yeah.
or so and
mm-hmm.
and she was dating kind of for the first time, more or less. She ran into some issues with being labeled as like a breeder
yep.
and as a traitor because
she had kids.
Yep.
And I mean, the breeder thing isn't even super accurate because at that time she had two kids and one of them was adopted.
And right.
yeah, she was a half breeder.
What's fascinating, I
that's
think,
a different thing.
What's when you talk about sex positivity is there is that there's that taboo about sex that is, I think, I and maybe I'm wrong, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like it is an inherently American thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like that when the queer, even in the queer communities, when gay people in America basically ostracize bi people,
yeah.
you know, I think that's part of it. And I think it is the biggest issue we have as a society is that we are afraid of sex. I mean,
I would say no, it's not a strictly American thing because think about Africa where there's a stranglehold on being any kind of queer there.
Sure.
Yeah.
So even when gay was okay here in America, there's still this stripe.
I think we're all just talking about like white Western countries.
Oh, well, of course. let's check our privilege.
Well, no, but
I will also say, I think there's a certain stripe of, just negativity in general towards sex at all in certain cultures.
Yes.
Well, and I think the topic of our podcast, it's, I think most sex taboo comes from religion. I think the reason that we as a society, many societies have issues with sex comes from religious taboos. I mean, the reason that schools have so much difficulty
mm-hmm.
teaching sex ed the way it really should be taught is because of the conservative Christian right that doesn't want people talking about sex in schools. The religion promotes hiding sexuality.
Right.
You know, the idea of people needing to be covered, would be it women or women and men, mm-hmm. or the women must cover themselves
because men can't be trusted.
Because men can't be trusted, and also because if they keep themselves uncovered, then they are advertising themselves as, or basically
go
harlots.
even more extreme into like female castration and things like that, where sex isn't for pleasure. I mean, the thing is, it's really, if you want to strip it down. Past all of that, it's about denying basic humanity and saying that a human, at their base level, is an animal, and we need to eschew our animal instinct. Mm. And while there are some base animal instincts that humans have that we do need to mm-hmm. keep a lid on, you know, our more murderous, rageful type things, you know, lumping sex into violent behaviors is wrong. Well, in my opinion. And I think that's where sex positivity comes in.
We're one of a small percentage of animals that enjoy sex.
Right. Yeah. Us and bonobos.
Or
that's where it's
hang on, that's not accurate. Have sex recreationally.
Yeah, recreational sex. Yeah. Yes. Dolphins do too.
Dolphins.
I said there are other animals that do. Absolutely.
I feel that, so what I've always found fascinating is that there is this strong propensity toward abstinence when it comes to sex, or you're a better person if you're not having it. You're more pure. People who want sex are you know, animals, are more base, are cruder.
Vulgar.
Making jokes about sex is crude. Talking about sex is crude. You know, being open about your sexuality is a crude thing. And yet, we've got, you know, kindergartners doing drills for what to do when someone's going to murder you in your school.
Right. Yeah.
And we're fine with that.
Yeah.
We don't want sex ed
that
taught to
me,
kindergartners, but we're fine with teaching them what to do when someone comes into school with a gun.
That,
and
to me, is
what?
An American thing.
Yeah.
And what's amazing about that is the odds of those kindergartners being in a situation where somebody comes into their school with a gun is really close to zero.
Yeah.
It's not zero, as it should be,
but it's close.
But it's really close to zero. The
but
odds that those kindergartners are going to have sex is almost 100%.
Not, let's just go ahead and say not as kindergartners.
No,
right.
Well, no.
Eventually.
My mom always said she had no problem with us watching an R movie if it was rated R for sex. Hmm. Or language, because language only has whatever power you give it, and sex is something everyone's going to have.
Right.
And the way she said it, what she had a problem with was us watching violent movies,
mm-hmm.
because she's like, I don't want you learning violence. You shouldn't have to, no one should see violence. Everyone will eventually someday
experience
probably
it,
have
somehow.
Sex at least once.
Okay.
I mean, at least once, probably.
Hopefully.
And so I the thing with the, so the
Tim's
thing
still
with
looking
the,
forward to it.
He's got kids and they look just like him. Like, they look just
right.
like
we
him.
We know he's had sex at least twice.
Devin looks
life.
More like him
well,
now than ever
you
with
know
the glasses.
I've jerked off into a cup at least twice.
Well, there you go.
Devin exactly. was under a blanket earlier when we got here, and he sat up and his hair was sticking up all over like you in the morning with his little glasses. And I was like, it's Tiny Tim. Like, it's
that's a different thing.
Oh. But so what I was going to get at is that we never have this with food. There's never this, and this happens in anorexia communities, the idea that if you can eschew food, if you can go without food, if you don't eat, you're more pure. You're less
pious.
Of an animal. Yes, you're higher. You
right.
are of, you are better
higher
than people.
Status. It's a status
yes.
thing. Yeah.
And so it's interesting to me that you don't hear that. There's no, like, you don't hear about that. To do that is shamed. Like, that's a bad thing. We were like, everyone eats. You should eat because you should. But no one says that for sex.
Right.
No one's like, sex is as much of a need as food and water and shelter
intimacy,
and clothing.
Intimacy. Intimacy in a human life. And this is interesting because I was answering this question. I work with seniors, and I was answering this question about seniors and how intimacy changes as you get older.
Right.
You know, and that it just does. So it becomes more intellectual for some people. Some people mm-hmm. it stays very physical, and that's just, you know, and they have to have that expression. But it's interesting that, you know, intimacy is a human need.
Mm-hmm.
Touch is a human need.
And so is food. And if someone won't eat, we're like, you have to eat.
You have to eat.
Everyone needs to eat. You can't not eat.
Right.
But when someone wants to go without other things, like sex, because we don't think of sex as, because your human body doesn't need it to run.
And look at the experiments we've had with abstinence and with celibacy and with the danger of forcing celibacy on people.
Especially teenagers.
Well, forcing or
certain religious sects.
Yeah.
Yes, there are professions that force you to be celibate.
We can just say priests.
There we go. All right, let's just go ahead. I mean, we'll call a spade a spade. Yeah. So as far as that's concerned, that can be very, you know, detrimental to society.
Well, it's like,
not just to the person. It is detrimental to that person. It is damaging.
I think,
it is psychologically damaging to that person to force them to be celibate.
Like, but repression is generally unhealthy. No matter what you're also repressing, you're not dealing with it.
It's also psychologically damaging to the person, to the people that person advises, because you know what? People go to their priests to ask them questions about sex.
That's
which
true.
And their priest doesn't fucking know the answer.
If I can just say, don't ask people who have never had sex about
sex.
Well,
but the thing is, a lot of priests have had sex.
Asking like an 11-year-old kid for sex advice.
Right, exactly.
Like, a lot of priests have had sex.
Boobs.
It's true.
Right.
It's true.
A lot of priests have had sex before they've taken their before they've taken their vows.
Especially nowadays.
Some of them have been married. That's
a lot of priests have sex once they become priests.
Yep.
A lot of them know something about sex, but still, if you're supposed to be living a life of celibacy, you're a really bad person to give other people advice about sex. But look at even not just priests.
Ethically,
like,
it's questionable.
Yeah,
it's. But look at people like fucking Bristol Palin, who goes around and talks about abstinence all the time, even though she's incapable of it herself. And there's nothing wrong with the fact that she hasn't abstained from sex. What's wrong is she's going around and telling
shaming other people
about it when she can't do it either.
Let me talk about that shame piece for a minute, because
that's important.
I felt huge shame, and I remember, and this is so sad, and it honestly makes me a little weepy right now to think about the fact that I prayed so hard as a kid to have my sexual feelings taken away from me.
Yeah.
I saw some porn when I was 12, 13.
Yeah, it's like a reel-to-reel. Did you put a nickel in a thing and see
it? It was my friend's dad's Playboy channel. And we didn't have cable. So, I was like 12, like 11, 12. And so I went to my friend's house, and he was like, "You want to see something cool?" And I was like, "Sure, let's see something cool." He puts on the Playboy channel, and there's people having sex.
Yeah.
And it's not hardcore.
Yeah, because it's Playboy.
So it's a little softcore, but it's people having sex, and I'm like,
It sounds.
Yep. And
naked
it's,
skin.
Yeah, which is honestly my biggest... we'll get into that later.
Will we?
No, probably not. but the thing is, I remember those images sticking with me, and...
Yeah.
I remember spiritual leaders of mine saying, once you see something, you can't unsee it. And that's in your brain. And you need to... And I remember asking God and saying, please take these images away from me. Please. Because all I can do is think about these and masturbate. And then I feel shame. And I feel like I'm wrong and I'm dirty. And I'm a horrible person because I watched this thing. And now I know these things that I'm not supposed to know.
I remember the first time I touched a woman's breast. And it was by accident. But I remember just going, holy shit, I want to do that again.
Right?
I used to sit around on the couch when I was like two and just with like fingers just stuck
in
up inside
pocket.
Myself watching TV.
Yeah.
Just my mom would come in and be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Feels nice." She's like, "All right. Well, wash your hands before and after, and you can't do this when you're not at home." Like, just, you know, it was like sucking my thumb. It wasn't,
sure.
it wasn't anything.
It's pleasurable and it's comfortable.
It's why a vagina has an overbite.
Yeah, it is. But so like, no, I distinctly remember the first time I actually masturbated, like, because like, and then in hindsight, I was like, oh, I've actually been masturbating a while, because it didn't occur to me that what I'd been doing before was that.
Right.
But we used to, my friend and I used to, one of us would be the guy and we would stuff a sock down our pants and we would hump the other one until we felt better. And at the time, we were just, it never occurred to us. We knew we should close the door. We didn't want her mom to see it. And it never occurred to us that was masturbating.
The closing of the door. Interesting to me is the closing of the door.
Yeah.
Because when does that switch get flipped with kids?
Yeah.
When does that switch get flipped?
Well,
like there was
there,
when I was
there
two, I was on the couch.
So your switch wasn't flipped yet.
When we were doing early childhood family education with our kids, and we talked about sex ed in there and when it's appropriate to talk to kids about certain things. But I mean, one of the things that is something that we talk about is telling kids your body is your body. And it's your business.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is that. And I don't think that that's wrong. I don't think it's wrong to say, it's your business. You can you can be sex positive, but still say
it's private.
Yeah.
And talking about shaming, I do have because you asked me about my mom, and when Pat and I were first dating, I was still living at my mom's house, and my room was right next to my mom's room. And even though we didn't have a lot of talks about sex, there was one night where Pat and I, we'd usually had sex down in the basement, but we were getting bolder. And so we
and
had,
you wanted a bed, not a couch, because fuck that bed. Couch. Yeah, I'm done with the couch.
So there's there's some good angles on a couch.
Yeah.
So we had sex in my bedroom, and we thought we were quiet, but you know.
Anyway, yeah, sometimes you are and sometimes you aren't.
And we went downstairs after we were done, and my mom came down and had this talk about, you know, I can't stop you from having sex.
How old were you?
But we started dating when... 20 and 18.
Okay.
20 and 18.
Yeah.
No, that's when we got married. So anyway, never mind.
So 19 and 18.
She wasn't quite.
I know is she was 18. And that's anyway, what matters.
She wasn't quite 18, so technically, what we did was illegal. So anyway.
It depends. Sometimes if it's like 17
and
18,
what's the age of consent in
actually,
Minnesota?
No, actually, it depends. Back then, I bet the law was if you were within 3 years. It used to be as long as you're within a few years of each other, that's what matters.
Anyway, the age of consent also matters.
Yeah. The point is that even in a household that I think was fairly sexually positive, there was still that thing of when I had sex in my mom's house, and she knew I was having sex, she was really upset about
it. It's not a hotel.
You know,
was she really upset, or was she just concerned?
She was really upset.
Okay.
She was really angry.
Yeah.
She was trying not to make the decision to throw
you
out of my house.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
I had the same thing. When I started having sex, my mom was, my mom made me promise when I was 12, that when I had sex and lost my virginity, I would tell her. And then if I, for whatever reason, we were fighting, that if I couldn't tell her, I would tell my Aunt Jo, or I would tell my grandma, or I would tell someone, right?
An adult woman who's
I have Asperger's, so I was like, rules, have to tell my mom. So every time a guy, and I was a very sexually adventurous girl, but I didn't actually have intercourse until I was almost 18, because every boyfriend who'd be like, we should do it. I'd be like, yeah, I'm so ready. Just so you know, though, I will have to tell my mom. Which, like, is the fastest boner poison ever, if you're wondering. Like, just because my
it's
mom
up
was
there with I'll hold my feet.
My mom was scary. So so when I finally told my boyfriend in high school, in junior year, that I was out to my mom, and he was like, cool. And so we did. And I get on the this is right before spring break, so I'm like, oh, I'll tell her on the plane, because then she can't make a scene. So we're on the plane, I'm sitting next to my mom, we're up in the air, and all of a sudden, and she goes, and she's like, so how are you? I'm like, I've had sex. And she's like, and she looks at me, and I can see her, like, calculating, and she looks around at the plane, and she's like, and she takes in this deep breath, and she's like, all right. And I'm like, you made me promise to tell you, so I am. And she's like, yes, yes, you are. But she screamed at me literally every other time that she thought I was having sex in her house, even when I wasn't, because she was mad. But none of my brothers or sisters ever...
And I mean, that's an interesting thing, because you know what? If my kids have sex in my house, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't. Because I want them to understand that sex is natural.
Yep.
Sex is something that you can enjoy. You have to respect your partner. You have to use protection if you don't want to have a kid. Mm-hmm. And that's your fucking responsibility.
Unless you're gay, in which case, go nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's
go balls deep.
Yeah, just
come in everything.
Right. I mean, regardless of who they're into, there's safe sex.
There's
responsible sex.
Yes.
And that's really what it comes down to.
I think that's a much I honestly think that is a much better idea.
Responsible
than
sex.
Yeah, responsible sex. Because there's no such thing as safe sex.
No.
Right.
Because honestly, you can get herpes
without even having sex.
Without even having sex.
Sure.
Yeah.
I worked at Planned Parenthood, there was a woman who had been married for 20 years. Her husband cheated on her 8 years before she ended up with herpes symptoms. And when she's like, so I have herpes? And he was like, oh, yeah, I have herpes because I cheated on you 8 years ago. I didn't think that it would ever happen. And it's like, now she has herpes.
When I was touring around doing sex ed with Kaiser Permanente, I had taken all that Red Cross training. So, like, Red Cross came in and trained us on HIV and STDs and all that stuff. So
wasn't it called GRIDS back then?
No, it wasn't. No, I'm not that old. I'm, like, 4 years older than you. Shut up.
I'm older than all y'all.
Right, yeah, right. It was called GRID when he was a kid. Anyway. No, but so I'm teaching all these kids about STDs, and so I've taken in all this information, and at one point, people are saying, some of my compatriots are like, well, masturbation is fine and things like that, and I was like, well, you know, guys, herpes, and they're like, Jeffrey, you have to give them something, they have to be able to do something that's safe.
And I was
don't take away masturbation, exactly. I was like, well,
give these guys little anxiety attacks, exactly. Like, God, I want to masturbate, but I don't want to get herpes.
I don't want to get Yeah. Herpes from masturbating.
No longer a fear about hairy palms. No.
Just herpes. Just horrible herpes sores.
Herpes is real. Hairy palms, that's a myth.
No. Yeah.
But apparently it is related to eyesight, because if you look at like the Viagra and Cialis commercials, they're like, if you start to experience a loss of vision, talk to your doctor. I was like, it is related!
I wonder if that's from the blood.
Viagra
it is. It's about constriction of...
Literal... seeing blue.
Yeah.
Apparently, which is funny because it's a blue pill.
I think it's about the constriction. It's about blood vessels. It's vascular. It's constriction. Yeah, absolutely. Blood vessels and things.
We're talking about shaming, and I read this great like little three-part quote, and that's calling a woman a slut is shaming them for saying yes. Mm-hmm. Saying that a woman's put you in the friend zone is shaming them for saying no. And calling a woman a bitch is shaming them for pointing that out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it as calling them a slut is saying something about their right to say yes. And their right to say no. It's essentially stealing a woman's rights from her.
To say yes or no.
Say yes or no. And it's everybody's right to say yes or no to everything and anything.
Sure.
When I was in high school, I'm a big fan of blowjobs. I love getting blowjobs. I don't even necessarily... get pleasure from giving a blowjob. I enjoy it.
I get that.
And mostly because I like pleasing people, and I always have. And nothing pleases a guy like a blowjob. Seriously.
That's so interesting.
I used to have a joke, not even a joke. I talked about what I called homemade Prozac, which was you make a guy a peanut butter sandwich and you blow him, and whatever problem he has, he's better because he had a peanut butter sandwich and a blowjob, and he's just better. And
I'm not hungry and I'm freshly blown. I mean,
you can just fix it.
All your other problems
right?
are
so
distant.
When I was in high school, I liked giving blowjobs, and I didn't see a problem, and I didn't think it was. I really didn't see the problem with it, and I didn't think I was being used because I liked doing it. And this one time when I was a senior, a guy asked me out, and he was a really hot, popular guy, so it was weird, and he asked me to be his girlfriend, and I was like, this feels like a trick. And then the next day he called me on the phone at home, and the next day at lunch he broke up with me, and he's like, I feel really bad, I don't actually want you to be my girlfriend, I don't actually like you personality-wise, I just think you have a really hot body, and I heard you give blowjobs, so that's why I asked you, and I feel really guilty about it. And I was like, thank you. Like, I was actually, all I heard was, you have a really hot body, and I thought you would blow me, and I was like, the latter is definitely true, and the former, well, thank you. And I just, I told my mom, and she was like, he said he didn't like your personality. I'm like, well, that's understandable. I mean, like,
talk to me.
Mom, plenty of guys don't like me. Very few of them call me hot.
What's interesting is, so, like, I went through this period where, I was in an exclusive relationship with a guy.
Yeah.
So I was identifying as gay at that time because I was in a relationship with a gay man. He's gay, has no interest in vaginas
easier.
At all. Right. So, and I was in an exclusive relationship for 3 years with him. And so people were like, oh, well, you're gay. And I'm like, well, okay.
I am right now.
It's just easier to be gay for this guy.
Am I right? Like,
well,
so gay for
exactly.
him.
Exactly. It's like, well, the person I'm sleeping with is a man. I was like, but I'm not. And he and I, like, he understood.
Yeah.
But
we've talked about that before. How someone else's identity, being with them, can change your own identity.
Sure. Well, and that's what's interesting is it never changed my identity. Like I have always known. And here's what it really boils down to for me is I was in a relationship with Corey, a guy. And I was still watching vagina porn. I was still into vaginas, and I still, and as soon as Corey and I broke up, I was in a relationship with a woman. After her, I was in a relationship with a guy. So I have gone back and forth. So that, like, honestly, I am, When I say I'm agnostic in all things, it's really true.
You're a Kinsey 3 about God.
Well, I'm an independent politically. You know, I have. Mm-hmm. I'm mostly liberal. I'm an extremely liberal person. There are a few, like, very small conservative, like, small government type things that I'm into. But fuck the Republicans. This particular cycle.
No, don't. That's what they want.
No, I don't want to fuck any of them, but those, it's just stupid.
Statistically, they're looking for
that's
you.
That bumper sticker. Don't have sex with pro-lifers.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly. So, but that's the thing. It's, like, agnostic in all things. So, and to me, that really boils down to my kind of humanist streak. Mm-hmm. Where what's right for me might not be right for you. So, like, my mom...
I thought you were about to start saying the lyrics to Different Strokes.
No!
Just, it would have been a good opportunity.
You take the good, you take the... No, that's facts of life. That's facts of life.
Man is born, he's a man of means. Then along
we're never
going
to get to the end of this.
They got nothing but the dreams.
But they've got what? Different Strokes.
It takes...
All right,
Different Strokes.
That wasn't
wow,
the whole song.
That was horrible.
But anyway...
But that's the thing, is, like, what's right for me... might not be right. That's really the key, though, is, like, my mom keeps having this conversation with me. And it's funny, because it always happens when my mom and I are sitting, like, at a bar, and she's had two margaritas instead of the one that she usually has. She has two margaritas, and she just turns to me and she goes, "Son, you don't believe in anything? Like, you don't believe in anything?" And I'm like, "Well, Mom, I believe in things. I believe in people.
I'm not a nihilist, for Christ's sake.
Right, I'm not a fucking nihilist. I believe in human beings. I believe in positive thinking. I believe that we are all made up of exactly the same thing. I think there's an energy that... we're all essentially energy moving at different speeds. You know, like, this table... is the same thing that I am. But because it moves, the energy in this table moves slower, it seems solid. And because my energy moves faster...
You seem unstable.
I'm completely unstable.
Atom density and
God,
all that.
God, this explains so much.
No, but that's the thing.
Jeffrey is not a table. Episode
I'm not a table. Well, I don't know. So you can
he's
lay-
been known to
move. Is that a sex thing? Is table a sex thing?
Maybe well, he's you agnostic lay- about that, too.
Right? No.
Jeffrey is not a sex table.
Jeffrey Brown, agnostic table.
Jeffrey is agnostic about being a table.
I might be a table. I don't know. I have... taken the table position.
Have rich men ever put sushi on you and then eaten it off?
No. I've taken the table position and enjoyed myself more than once. If you want to get into yoga positions.
Yeah, anyway. So I think we could talk about this literally all evening. But we can't because
I can talk about it all evening.
We are reaching...
I like sex!
Have we been talking for an hour?
No.
Oh, it's a half-hour podcast.
It's a half-hour podcast. And
about a half-hour.
I thought
hour.
We talked for an hour and then you edit it down to a
no,
half
we don't edit
no,
shit.
No, we don't edit shit.
Editing's
I'm
work.
So sorry that I wasn't funnier.
Whoa, please.
So, we got to get to five questions. So,
Questions.
Yes, we have the five questions.
Five questions.
That we will ask you and right. You as our guest will answer.
Okay.
So, why don't you do question number one there, Nick?
What's a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
This is an embarrassing answer. Do I have
to... Yeah. No, you have to say it.
It's Major League.
Major League is a
Wild
great
thing.
Movie.
The first one. I know.
Yeah.
And it's
so
Charlie Sheen before he went off the rails,
when they,
man.
When they're ripping off her clothes and she's in that standee of her that's like, say, you guys stink.
Rene Russo, Tom Bergeron, is that his name?
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes.
No, Tom Behringer, isn't
Tom
it?
Tom Behringer.
Behringer, that's it. That's
Wesley
it.
Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
Who's the...
Charlie Sheen.
Like,
Charlie
fuck you, Juco. Fuck you. What's the little...
Oh. He's the president from 24.
Yeah.
David,
I don't know his name. Yeah. With his hats
Jogu.
For bats.
Jobu.
Yeah.
Jobu.
Jobu.
Hats
no,
for bats.
I love Major
We say
League.
That the guys I've been destiny with a lot. We say, fuck you, Jobu. I'll do it myself.
Fuck you, Jobu. I do it myself. It's an underdog sports movie.
It's a great movie.
It is
but
a real...
But it's really funny.
It's really good.
What is it? The Bad News Bears, but adults.
Adults, yeah.
Adults.
Yeah. When they get him the glasses and all of a sudden he can
Corbin
see.
Burnson.
Corbin Burnson.
Oh, yeah.
It might be his best performance.
I had a big crush on Corbin Burnson because of L.A. Law. When I was a kid, I had a big crush on Corbin Burnson.
Was this Snipes? Was he?
He's the original.
He's Richie Mays Hayes.
Richie Mays Hayes.
Runs like Mays, hits like Hayes or whatever it is.
And he's gonna steal the most bases.
Yeah.
I got 100 of these gloves. I'm going to put on a new one every time I steal a base.
I love the first baseman goes, where are you going? He goes, you going somewhere? Where he goes about 60 feet.
favorite movie. Oh, and I want to watch Major League.
Yeah. Yeah, then they throw him out at second base, right. And that's hilarious. Yeah. Because he's such a dumb fuck.
Yeah. All right, question right. two. Question two, what is your geekiest and or most prized possession?
My most...
they don't have to be the same thing. It can be, yeah.
My, I love my Scrabble board. That's my geekiest possession.
Do you have one of those fancy turning ones?
It's got wheels. Actually, I got the travel version that closes up on itself, ooh, but still has wheels on the bottom, has two drawers on it.
Oh, what?
And it seats the tiles, too. So, it was like one of the, so my second... technically, my very first date with my wife was her inviting me over to her house to play Scrabble.
That's why you proposed with the Scrabble thing.
And you had Scrabble stuff on your wedding.
Yeah. So, so, like, honestly, my wife kind of won me by saying, you want to come play Scrabble? And I was like, I told her, I was like, I don't know if you want to play Scrabble with me.
Because I'm good and
I was like,
mean.
I was like, I don't fuck around with Scrabble. Yeah. And
did she beat you? I hope she beat you.
She did not beat me the first time. She has beat me since.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that would be great.
I will say
fucking deserve to lose.
No, yeah, she has beat me since. The first time, what was cool was, like, I won, like, something like 210 to 150 the first time we played.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a good game, and it wasn't a completely, like, uneven game, right, you know? But she also has learned some of my strategies since then, which it's not all about making the best words. It's about landing on your premium squares properly.
Yeah. Yep.
Because if you can make a decent five-letter word on a premium square, you're gonna own the board.
Yep, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
But right. So that's my geekiest possession, and I don't mean to be stupid, but my prize, if my house caught on fire, I'd grab my kids and I'd run out.
Well, your kids are possessions. No, your kids are their own
your
people.
Fucking, they will mow the lawn when I tell them to.
Well, they're slaves, so they're not possessions.
No, God, my...
You can't say your kids. I didn't say my kids.
Is there a guitar you like or something like that? Something musical? Something favorite CD?
Here's what I would say. Honestly, I'm not a things person.
Yeah.
I'm an experiences person. And honestly, that's why I like go to my kids. Is I'm like, you know...
Because you experience them a lot.
Well, no, but like going and doing things with my kids. I had a really good vacation this year with my kids. I've had a couple of really great vacations with my kids. Tim, you get this too, because you like go to national parks and shit with your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like...
12 times a year.
Fucking A. I was like, right? So, no, but that's the thing is, like, I'm an experiences type of person, so when I can really spend dig in and spend some good time with my family, that's
cool.
That's what I'm into.
All right, so question number three, what supernatural being do you wish was real?
Mythological, magical,
fictional,
historical, fictional,
Gazoo, because
Gazoo from the Flintstones?
Yeah. Because he seemed omnipotent,
the little Martian,
it's when Flintstones jumped the shark.
It
to
is.
Be sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That is the Flintstones.
Do you wish only you could see him, or do you wish only Fred Flintstone could see him?
Well, like, if I was Fred Flintstone, Gazoo, like...
So you also wish to be...
I know I'm going to be unpopular by saying this, but I feel the Flintstones jumped the shark really, really early. Because...
Is that a caveman
joke?
Is
it when you stop being able to understand what Dino was saying?
The Flintstones was really just all the family. Well, more like
it was the Honeymooners.
It was before all the family.
Without, you know, like Jackie Gleason. And anyway, I'm just saying.
Just to get down to it, like, I like the supernatural things that just pop in and cause chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Mixleplix would be in there, too.
Yeah, sure. I was just about to say, Gazoo is basically
the
Mr. Mixleplix to Fred Flintstone's.
So what's funny is
Superman Batmite if you're more of a
Batmite, right?
Yeah.
So like to me, my entire life has been a fight against chaos because there's been chaos in my life a lot.
You're an agent of chaos, though, Jeffrey. I mean,
yeah, it's your own goddamn fault.
Yeah.
I have been in the past, but
I don't necessarily mean in a negative way. I just mean
I wouldn't say I'm an agent of chaos. I think I'm an agent of making people examine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question number four. We're not going to get into this.
Come on.
We'll never end the podcast.
Say religion is gone, what is the biggest problem humanity now faces? Not saying that religion necessarily is, but that's the situation, and now what's our deal?
So, honestly, I would say it was inequality between the sexes.
Like gender inequality?
Yeah, like gender inequality. Because, honestly, and I had a really good talk with a friend of mine, Daniel, about this, and he said... and he was really smart about this. We talked about this for a couple of hours. And he was saying, if we could figure out the sexism thing, and if we could get women as equal as men, then all of the other stuff would fall into line. Because if you think about the reason people are homophobic, or the reason people denigrate gays, is because they equate it with men acting womanly in a certain way. And how that is
effeminate,
and how that is a weakness, or how that is something less than. So if we could just recognize that women are equal to and as powerful, or in my opinion, like, certainly more powerful than men in a lot of ways.
Who run the world? Girls.
Although, you know, and we can't get into this, but I would argue that a significant amount of gender inequity is religion driven.
Sure.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Well, why do people mutilate genitals? Religion.
But the question is religion.
Here's the thing, is if you go back far enough and you look at the origins of religion, almost all of them were matriarchal, because women had babies and people worshipped the fact that women could have babies.
And as soon as guys figured out
that they had something to do with producing babies, it's the society.
Well, and think about any society that, anytime, like, you know, white men, well, whenever, like, imperialism takes over, like in Africa and things like that, and people have a matrilineal tradition, or they have a, you know, a matriarchal society, it's subjugated,
you know, and they change it into a patriarchal society.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be argued that this is a shortcoming of males to begin with, because as soon as guys figured out they had something to do with children, they flipped the narrative and they took over. So I don't know.
As a childless woman, child free woman, I'm not super into the whole, like, women are powerful because they can make life.
Well, no, that's,
like,
not,
yeah,
even,
I'm powerful for lots of reasons.
That's not even what I'm saying. I'm talking about how people's understanding of biology drove religion.
That is a good point. Yeah.
And I don't even think that women are powerful just because they can. I don't think a woman doesn't make life independently. So I'm not saying that that's the reason women are powerful. I have just known, and it might just, and this is my own personal thing, I was raised by two incredibly powerful women, and you know I was also raised by my dad, but the two, my sister and my mother, were the most kind of influential people in my life. So, you know, if you think about, you know, women are just, I don't know, there's a way that women relate to the world that is so much more natural and so much more in tune, that I feel like men have to work harder to get to. I don't know what it is about our fucking chromosomes.
It's not biological. It's sociological.
I don't think it's biological at all.
It's sociological.
But absolutely, and
of course you're saying that with your hippie witch wife. I mean,
it is true. My wife is a hippie witch.
Question five. Jeffrey, what is your favorite quote?
It's an Oscar Wilde quote. And it is, we're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars.
Ah, I like that one.
And to me, that also goes right down my humanist agnostic place, where we all come from the same place. We all come from the same ooze and mud and horribleness. And I know you have to pee, so I'll hurry up. But we all come from the same place, and we all have, honestly, we all have the same gifts when we come squirming out of our mothers. And
I fell out. I wasn't moving at all.
My newest daughter, Esmeralda, she shot out of her mother.
Yeah.
Like, the midwife was like, whoa!
Yes. My sister, too. The midwife was like, Deborah, stop pushing. My mom was like, I'm not pushing. She's just coming. She's the fourth. Like, this is just happening. Rheumatoid pain.
Like, hello.
All right. So, okay, good. I'm going to finish this off now. No, that's probably bad. Anyway.
Don't say finish this off.
Don't finish off my mom's vagina. My mom's cavernous vagina.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the sex positive episode of Geeks Without God.
Nothing wrong with a cavernous vagina.
Every episode preceding this was not sex positive at all. But this one was. So
we tested positive on this one.
If you have...
Boy.
If you have anything you'd like to...
For sex.
If you have anything you'd like to contribute to this conversation, you can always comment on our website. We love to see those and have those conversations.
Come
of course,
all over it?
Yeah, totally. You can come all over our Facebook page.
Put your dick on our Facebook page.
Oh, wow. No unsolicited dick pics. I want to make that very clear.
Yeah, when she said,
no unsolicited dick pics.
If you have any dick pics that are good,
send them to dickpics@geeksnotcom.com.
I'm going to make that email address. I'm going to make it go to Jeffrey. Let me write myself a note here. Dick pics.
Thank you for listening. We will catch you next time.
Bye.
And remember, kids, practicing safe sex has about the same results as practicing abstinence, except you get to have sex.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks. without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
I, like, shot up from bed, and I was like, ah! She was like, what? I was like, I'm monogamous.